Good morning. Okay, you can hear me good. Thank you for coming. Today I'm going to talk about extensibility in Team Architect. Has anybody here had a chance to play around with the Team Architect in 2010 yet? Anybody? Two people, three people. All right. So there's going to be a whole bunch of new stuff going on here. Had a bit of technical difficulties, so hopefully I can run everything fine here. My name is Larry Guger. I'm a Microsoft MVP, so I don't actually work with Microsoft, so you can't blame me for anything that you don't like, but I can certainly talk to the guys and try and get some help with it. I was a Team System MVP up until yesterday when they released 2010, and Team System has now sort of disappeared. So what we like to call ourselves are Microsoft MVPs in the product formerly known as Team System, right? So maybe I'm an MVP Universal. I don't know. So I don't know, you know, what I do with the product group anymore. But there's my email up there, a little bit of information. So as I show you some of the extensibility points that are available in what used to be called Team Architect, and I'll probably still call it that, the features that I'll be showing are coming in the Ultimate Edition of Visual Studio. And I think that's the only place that you can get it. I'm still not completely sure how the new SKUs are lining up exactly. I'll be showing you some stuff with UML support. So they've got a lot of UML-compliant diagrams built into the product now. And when I say UML-compliant, what they've done is the diagrams that you can create with this tool do comply with the UML, I believe it's 2.1.2 standard. So it's right up to date. They've got class diagrams, sequence diagrams, activity diagrams, use case diagrams, and component diagrams built into the product now. They aren't completely full-featured according to the spec. So just because the spec says you're allowed to add this particular annotation onto a UML diagram doesn't necessarily mean that the product's going to support all of the variations. However, what the product does allow you to do is compliant. So there's a bit of an interesting approach there. And it's just because the UML spec is such a huge beast, it's hard to bake absolutely everything into the product on Rev 1. Now, all of the diagrams are built on top of the DSL toolkit. And unfortunately, the DSL talk is going on right now next door. They didn't align everything perfectly well. But the nice thing is the T4 talk, which talks about how you can code gen off of these diagrams, is next. So if you're looking at how you're actually going to be able to code generation off of the diagrams, I'd recommend going and see Oleg, who's talking next door on the next talk. And it's going to be a very nice extension onto what I'll be showing you here today. Another one of the features that is built into the product that I'm not going to show you at all today is the Architect Explorer. And that's a very nice way of visualizing what's going on within a solution. The Architect Explorer allows you to explore the code that's been written in a solution, and it allows you to see the dependencies between projects, dependencies between classes, what classes are contained within assemblies, and the relationships between all these. So which class is calling which other classes and the other things. Anybody familiar with a product called ndepends? Out there? Yeah, a couple of you. So a lot of the Architect Explorer is very similar to the ndepend product. So you see a lot of similarities between those things. Next thing down that we've got is DGML, which is the Directed Graph Markup Language. It's a very, very simple XML schema, which allows you to create graphs that were showing you nodes and links and some directionality between these things. The Architect Explorer, when it visualizes your classes and the relationships between projects and whatnot, it's all rendered using DGML. And it's really easy to write to DGML and have that rendered within Visual Studio. I've got a really quick sample at the very end where I've just shown how you can visualize whatever you want using DGML, and I just did it as a bit of a server topology example. And the last thing that's sort of baked into TMARC coming out is the layer diagrams. And layer diagrams, I'm not going to be showing that either, but what the layer diagrams do is allow you to say, when I'm building my enterprise application, I want the UI layer to talk to perhaps a client-level business layer, that layer should not be allowed to talk to my data access layer. I want to go through services. So you can structure the organization of your code and your projects such that you're bounding restrictions between the layers. You can do it at namespace level. You can do it at project level. There's a lot of different restrictions. You do it up in this layer diagram, and that can all be enforced at build time, particularly on your automated build server. So when the project goes to your build server, it will actually validate the code that's been written against your layer diagram to ensure that nobody has created a dependency where you don't want one. So there's a lot of interesting things that are coming out in 2010. So that was sort of the quick overview of what's coming out in the product. The extensibility points are, there's a few of them there. And if you've been to a bunch of the other talks, you'll hear MEF talked about an awful lot. So the Managed Extensibility Framework. That's used a lot in the Architect Explorer stuff. I'll demo some of that today. And MEF is a really nice plug-in model. The way this is done, and Rico talked about it in the opening keynote, is it's an import and an export scenario. So you are allowed to export an interface and say, my class is going to export something of this type. Visual Studio is watching for types that are exported, and it will automatically load them into Visual Studio in the appropriate places. Likewise, Visual Studio exports a lot of things that you can then import into your extensions. So we'll look at an example of that when we start looking at some of the code here. And I'm going to export a type that Visual Studio will import, as well as I will be importing some of the types that Visual Studio is exporting, so that I can interact with Visual Studio and Visual Studio can interact with, excuse me, with me. And it's all it is a simple drop my class into a specific location. So it's extremely easy to manage, and all of this is being done through the extensibility components that you've already seen yesterday. The MEF framework is currently on CodePlex, so it's codeplex.com/MEF. It's being baked into .NET 4, so you'll see it in .NET 4 under the system.componentmodel.composition namespace. And we'll look at all of that as well. The other main point of extensibility for Team Architect 2 is leveraging these V6 projects. So everything that I'm going to build today, I'm going to be building within side a V6 project. So we'll see how you can leverage all of that for easy deployment. All of this can go up onto the code gallery. It becomes a really, really simple mechanism for plugging into Visual Studio. And of course, all of those show up in the extension manager, which has been shown several times. Oops, wrong keyboard. So the extension points within Team Architect or, you know, Visual Studio Universal or whatever it's called are UML profiles. So UML is a very extensible model. And one of the primary extension points within UML are custom profiles. And what that does is it allows you to annotate your models however you want. So you can do things like, say, this particular component, I want to annotate it with my own profile such that it gives meaning in the context of my organization. We'll look at writing a custom profile today and how you can interact with that. The next extension point listed up there are toolbox items. So there's a lot of different ways that you can go with this, and what I'm going to show is a way to take a design pattern, something like what the Gang of Four has put together, put that as a reusable component in the toolbox of your UML models. So now I can just drag one of these design patterns into my UML model so that I can have a structured approach to how I want my code written. So if I'm coming from a senior architect in an enterprise organization, I can define the patterns that I want my organization to use as they're writing code, embed that into the product so that my developers don't need to come up with how do I write that pattern? What is the structure of the code that's been dictated and designed ahead of time? They can just grab these reusable pieces out of the toolbox and drop them onto the diagrams and just run from there. Next one is menu commands, and the menu commands are your right click, so the context menus. So within any of these diagrams, you can add your own right click context menu items to interact with the UML model or the diagrams or any aspect of Visual Studio. I'll be showing that one as well. So I'm going to be focusing on the top three in my demos. And they're just going to build on top of each other so you can kind of see how they all relate. Drag and drop, or the double click, that's another extensibility point, and that's going to be in the iGesture extensions. So you can drag things from various places like your Solution Explorer right onto a diagram. And from there, you can interact with it and you can create diagrams in meaningful ways. Validation constraints. So again, since all of the diagrams are built on top of the DSL toolkit, the way the DSL toolkit works is whenever a model is saved or opened, there's a couple of points where you can interact with the model to validate that it is designed and structured in the way that meets your requirements. So somebody can be designing a diagram using the standard out-of-the-box class diagrams or a use case or whatever you want, and perhaps you want to have certain restrictions so that when they go to save that diagram, it will do custom validation against what's been built and will prevent saving if the diagram does not meet the validation constraints. And the last thing down there is the DGML graph model. Like I said, it's a very simple schema, and you can just write whatever you want into this schema and render these diagrams right within Visual Studio. So as long as it ends with a DGML extension, it will render fine within Visual Studio. And I've got a very quick sample on that. So some of the assemblies of interest, and this was written against a previous version of Visual Studio. So who went and got 2010 yesterday? Yeah, a few people. So when I got here on Sunday, I was given the beta 2, and I, you know, they said, here, you know, it'd be really nice if you did your demo on beta 2. So I've got beta 2, and that's what I'm going to do my demos on, but I've had it for a day now. So appreciate any patience when things go a little bit sideways. Some of the things did change, but not much from where I originally built my demos. I believe these namespaces have remained the same, so when you're extending Team Architect, these are some of the points where you're going to be looking at the assemblies. UML extensions, UML interfaces, the two down at the bottom are the ones that I'll be interacting with for the most part today. Some of the diagrams and the modeling SDK as well. These were delivered as part of the SDK as well. So you don't get all of them when you just install Visual Studio. So you have to install the SDK as well. So I alluded to this a little bit earlier. Code generation is one of the first questions that everybody always asks when Microsoft was first coming up with the UML modeling. So we've got class diagrams, we've got sequence diagrams, we've got all of these different diagram types, and there is no out-of-the-box code generation, which a lot of people kind of went, well, you know, diagrams is nice. And I sort of have that class diagram from before, which wasn't, you know, a UML compliant class diagram, but it had the two-way interaction, right? I could make edits in the class diagram, and it would be reflected in the code, so it was or vice versa. That's not available with these UML diagrams, and part of the reason is the UML spec can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So the way you interpret what a generic relationship between two classes means could be something very different to you than it could be to me. So to be able to bake in code generation out of the box based on just a relationship between two classes would be an arbitrary decision on somebody's part. So to be able to put code generation in would mean you'd be code-genning according to how Microsoft or somebody is interpreting those diagrams. So there were some real challenges there. So what they did is they just kind of stepped away from that and they said, we're not going to be providing code generation out of the box as part of this platform. Chances are you'll start to see maybe some power tools that are coming out with some code generation. I suspect this is going to be a huge opportunity for a lot of other people to be doing code generation on top of these diagrams. Like I said, down at the bottom, Oleg, who's next door right after this, is doing T4 on top of a class diagram. So he'll show you how to do some code generation. T4 has also changed a little bit in the 2010 Rev. They've exposed the T4 preprocessor, which allows you to do a lot of more interesting things with T4 when you want to get into an automated cogen opportunity as well. So there's that. Any questions about any of this so far? Kind of burning through it fairly quickly because I don't like slides. So, demos, questions. Now, let me just see what I can do here. So I've got just a little starter project that I want to begin with. And it's just a little UML diagram. Absolutely.
I was wondering how the layer diagram deals with dependency injection.
So the layer diagram is a compile time assessment. So your dependency injection is going to be a runtime thing. Now, your dependency injection is typically going to be implementing a specific interface that you need to implement to load up that particular class, and your code that you're going to be writing at development time is going to be relying on that sort of interface, generally, is the approach it's going to take. So at compile time, what the layer diagram will do is validate that the interface that you're referencing is allowed. So if the interface is in a project or in a namespace that you don't want reference from a certain location, it won't allow you to, or it'll actually generate an error when you try and reference that interface. Now, what class actually implements that interface and gets loaded at runtime is going to be completely unknown at build time. So there's going to be some ability to enforce how you're referencing the interfaces, but not the actual class at runtime. Okay, so what I've got here is a real simple class diagram. So here's what the UML diagrams look like. What I've done here is I've just created a modeling project. So this is one of the new project types that's available. So if we just come up here, File, New, Project, and what you'll see is one of the types that's available now is a modeling project. So that's just this guy down here, modeling project. And of course, it's UML, so it's not tied to any specific language, so you're going to see that outside of all of the language types. Something to note, when you're looking at extending these capabilities within Team Explorer, is there's two very distinct things at play here. In the center on the middle panel here, I've got my diagram. And the diagram is an entity onto itself that you can manipulate and you can work with. The diagram is built on top of the model. So if we take a look at the UML Model Explorer, the UML model are all of the things that are contained within my project here. So whether it's packages or activity diagrams or sequence diagrams or use cases or actors or all of the individual bits and pieces, interfaces, doesn't matter. They're all contained within my UML model. A diagram is merely a view into that model. And they're somewhat disconnected. I mean, they're obviously related. And if I make a change to a name of a class in my Model Explorer, it'll be reflected in my diagram. But the diagram is merely a view onto it. And you interact with those two in different ways. So I can have multiple class diagrams that all have the same class because it's all just different views into the model. And we can see that was one of the biggest challenges that I ran into when I was first starting to work with these entities in code was understanding, am I working with the class as it's represented in the diagram or am I working with the class as it's represented in the model? And keeping those two straight can be a bit of a challenge sometimes when you're actually working within the code. So what I did here is I created the classic decorator pattern as designed by the Gang of Four. So this is how they design it. You open up the Gang of Four book and go to the page on the decorator pattern, and this is the UML. And perhaps what I've got is I've got a legacy code base where I need to be doing a lot of decorations on top of existing classes because I can't necessarily modify the existing classes. So I'm going to find that my team is reusing the decorator pattern a lot. So I want to bundle that into an extension that they can leverage. Likewise, I might want to design all of the Gang of Four patterns, put them into a V6, put it up onto the code gallery so that anybody could download them and then be able to interact with all of these models. So they've got them as part of their Visual Studio implementation. So this here so far has absolutely nothing to do with the extensibility. This is just a UML diagram, and you can create any UML diagram you want. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add an extensibility project into my solution. Extensibility, and this is going to be my Visual Studio integration package. And I'm just going to call this custom extensions. We get this nice wizard that comes up, and I will be working in C#, generate the key file, that's all fine. Company name, package name, just a bunch of information that you provide into this. And this is the information that gets posted up into the code gallery as well. I'm not actually going to be building a menu command, right? So the menu command that's listed here is a menu command within Visual Studio. So that's up in the top bar there. I will be creating a right-click context menu command, though. Different kind of beast. No tool windows, no custom editor. And you know, all of the other demos, they've unchecked these two boxes, but you know, we're good developers here, so I'm going to include them. I'm just not going to write them. So no, there's no test first development today. All right. So let that spin up. It creates my project. Got my integration tests, all that good stuff. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to take my class diagram and this layout file, right, which is the one underneath the class diagram, and I want to add them into my V6 project. So it's fairly simple to do. All I'm going to do is I'm just going to take these two guys, and I'm going to drag them up into my custom extensions project. So I've just added them into my extension project. So that's the only relationship that we're going to see between these two project types, right? So there's no reference between them. I've just added these two pieces. Now, the other thing that I need to do is I need to add an XML file, which is going to describe how I want my UML model to appear in my toolbox. So I just need to add an XML file. This is going to be my decorator pattern. And I've got myself a nice little cheat snippet here in my toolbox. So I'm going to add my start here. The schema that's driving this is one that I generated myself, so it may not fully comply with the final schema. As far as I know, the final schemas haven't been published with the beta 2. I haven't been able to find them, so I'm assuming they're not there yet. Whether they've been fully defined yet or not, I don't know. But this does work so far. So what I did is I just created one of these toolbox item XML files beforehand, and I just use the tools here to generate the schema off it, just so I can get a bit of IntelliSense as I go through this. Except I'm not getting any IntelliSense, which is, oh, Okay. Okay. Let's just see if my schema is selected. No. So if you need to add schemas to Visual Studio, they're all just contained. If you drill down into your Visual Studio installation location under XML and under schemas, and I just want to pick up my toolbox schema here. Say OK. So once we've got that, you can now see I've got the blue squiggly. So I've got IntelliSense for my XML file here. I just want to say this is a custom toolbox item, and I need to supply a file name. And the file name that I want to add here is just going to be the name of... Actually, but I don't want to run out of time here, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to, instead of typing all of this stuff out, because I want to get to the custom stuff on the commands for sure, I'm just going to add this in here, and I'll walk through it. So the custom toolbox item that I want to add in is just the file name for that class diagram that I've added into my physics project. So you can see here's my decorator pattern.class diagram. So that's just this guy here. So my toolbox file here is just referencing the class diagram that I've added. Display value, so this is just the name that's going to appear in my toolbox. You need to add which tab in the toolbox you want this item added into. The F1 keyword, decorator pattern help, this is what's going to be used to index into a help file. So if you're adding help into that, this is how it's going to look that up. And of course, I can add a tool tip into that as well. If I want, I can also reference a custom image. So I can save this. Oops. Save that. And what I need to do is rename this so that when this package gets loaded by Visual Studio, it knows what to look for. And it just gets the extension TBX info, which is your name for the toolbox info file. Yes, I want to change that. Now, one of the things that's always catches me off with these guys is I need to make sure that I include them. Oops. I didn't want to detach the whole works there. If I look at the class diagram file, the layout file, and the TBX info file, I need to include them in the V6 project. And I do that by going to the properties. I have to make sure that the build action adds them as content. I want to copy always. And something to note here, and this is a bit of a pain point, there's another setting that I need to provide on this properties file, which doesn't show up until I leave this file and come back to it. And this is one that will get you a bunch of times. So if I come back to my Solution Explorer, I'll just move on to the next file type, come back to the properties, set up the exact same settings on all of these. I'm just going to go with content, copy always, go back to my Solution Explorer, pick the class diagram, properties, content, and copy always. And now, if I go back to either the other two files and take a look at the properties, what you see down here is there's this include in V6, which wasn't there before. So it's a bit of a pain. And you got to make sure that you set that to true. And so I'll just iterate through my files again, set all of them to true to be included in the V6. All right. So now that I've got that, what I need to do is I need to tell the V6 project as a whole that I want to include this particular extension when the project gets installed. So we've got the manifest file, so this V6 manifest file. If I open that up, and this is a little a little annoyance that I've noticed with beta 2 is it seems that by default it's opening up into the XML view, which is not a particularly friendly view. However, there is a nice designer on top of that, which is the V6 manifest editor. And regardless, many times as I tell it to go with this default, this just doesn't seem to want to stick. So this is the nice designer. This is a whole lot easier to work with than the XML, of course. You can see here's that information that it asked me at the start of the wizard. And what I want to do is I want to add some content here. And my content type is going to be a custom extension type. And then I just need to add... Oh, see, this is where I need my cheat notes. Because, again, you're not getting IntelliSense on this sort of thing. And there's a particular namespace that you have to use in here. And I might be able to get it right off the top of my head, but, you know, chances are slim. So what we want here is Microsoft.visualstudio. Did I get that right? Dot team architect dot custom toolbox items. Okay. Team architect custom toolbox. That looks about right. And this is just going to be a file in the project, which is my TBX info file here. I can say OK. So that just turns up down there. There's a little bit more off to the right here. So if you wanted to just go and modify this after the fact, the little ellipses button over here is where I typed in that namespace. I can say OK. Let's see if this guy builds. Build succeeded. Good. So now I'm just going to start this. And of course, I can't start a modeling project. I need to set this as my startup project. And I'm going to start without debugging. So this is opening up the experimental instance of Visual Studio. And what we should see, I've got a modeling project that I've been playing around with in here. It's empty, so I haven't actually added anything to it yet. If I want, I can now add a class diagram. So I can just say I want to add a new item. It'll give me a selection of all of the different diagram types that I can add. So I'm just going to add class diagram to that. And if we get lucky, what we will see is my pattern. So there's my decorate. Oh, and you can see I've actually got two of them. I've obviously run this a few times. So I'm just going to come into Tools, go to my Extension Manager, uninstall that one, which was done before. And when we take a look at, my toolbox, here's my decorator pattern that I've added, and I can just drag and drop that onto my diagram. So you can bundle up as many different design patterns or as many combinations of UML diagrams as you want, add them into a V6 project. When the V6 project gets loaded, it adds it into your toolbox, so now you can just add these patterns directly onto diagrams. You don't have to worry about what's the correct format for a particular design pattern. So that's all kind of nice. Close this, save that. And now what I want to do is I want to add a custom profile. So perhaps in my classes, I want to design certain things in certain ways that add contextual meaning to my organization. And the example that I'm going to use here is just some kind of security information. So perhaps what I want is rule-based security or some kind of security that's at the access of a class, so that only users of a particular role, or maybe you're using some kind of credential system, can access a particular class. So I want to add that information. So again, I'm just going to come in here, and I'm going to add another XML file. And this one I'm going to call security profile. And this one has a profile extension. And I've got my start here. We'll see if I've got IntelliSense on this one. Nope. So I'll just go and load, target that schema again. The schema that I'm using here as well was just one that I generated. So whether this is going to be completely compliant with what's going to come out when this RTMs, I don't know. So there's my UML profile schema that I designed. And now you'll see I've got, there are three primary sections into a UML profile. So we've got property types, metaclasses, and stereotypes. So the stereotypes are what are actually going to get used within my UML model. The property types and the metaclasses are going to drive what gets used, both in the class diagram as in how it gets, how the profile gets scoped. And the property types are what are the options that are going to be available onto my custom profile. So we start at the bottom and we look at the property types. And there are two different options available here. So there's an enumeration type where I can define my own enumeration. So since we're going to be talking security roles here, maybe my roles will be things like admin, public user, power user, or maybe a restricted user, something like that. External type is going to be one of the built-in classes or referenced classes. So an external type here could be system.string, for example. We're going to use the enumeration type, and we're going to give it a name, which is going to be security roles. And there's going to be some enumeration literals. And my literals are going to have a display name. Whoops. Display name, which would be admin, and a name, and I'm just going to use the same name here. Admin, and we'll add another one. So display name equals public. Whoops. I don't know how many Y's there are in public. And a name of public. So there I've defined just a list that I want to use as my security roles. The metaclasses is going to be a reference to what type of diagram element I want to be able to apply this profile to. So in this case, I want to scope this particular profile to only class diagrams. I can list multiple different types that I want to apply this to. And again, this is just the namespace of the class that the object is in. And this one, I believe, is Microsoft.visualstudio. I'm going to check my cheat notes here again. Visual Studio UML.classes. And I use the interface. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying this is the class type within my diagrams that I want to scope this to. Now I can come up here and I actually define the stereotype that's going to be contained within this profile. So I can come into my stereotype. The name is going to be security. And display name will be security roles. Whoops. It's going to want to know what metaclasses this particular stereotype applies to. And this is where you need to reference the metaclasses that you've defined below. And in here, I'm going to reference it by name. Now, the way you reference these is a bit interesting. What you have to do is you have to use the name of your profile in conjunction with the meta class that you've defined below. So in this case, my name is up here. So I'm going to use the security profile like that, and then I just tack on the name of the meta class to the end here. Once I've got the meta classes that this profile is going to apply to, what I need to do is I also need to say, here are the properties that this profile is going to leverage. So the default value, what I want to do is I want to select one of the default values from the list in the enumeration below, because that's the property type that I'm going to pull in. So I want to say, I want my default to be admin. Well, maybe that's not such a good idea. Maybe I want my default to be public. The display name is going to be security profile, and the name is security. And then I come down into here, and then the property type, just like I had with the meta type, it's going to ask me for, whoops, a enumeration type or an external type, and I can have multiples, right? So my profile can have a bunch of different properties associated with it, and I've only defined the one enumeration type down there, so the name is going to be defined just like what I did with the meta class up above. So I define it in the same manner. So I use the name of my profile coupled with the name of my property type. So now that I've got that, I can save that. That's the definition of a profile. And you can add as many properties or meta classes. You can have multiple different property types, however you want to define these and however you want to scope them and whatever metadata you want to tack into it. So now that I've added that, I have to go and do the exact same thing that I did with all of the things for my class diagram. I need to come into here, go and look at the properties, make sure I set that to content, do not copy, or pardon me, copy always, select something else, come back into my profile, come back to my properties, and set the V6. Once I've got those set, I have to come back into my manifest. And I need to add that content type as well. So again, this is a custom extension type. My type here is Microsoft.Visual. Studio, and I believe this one is UML.profile. And again, this is just going to be pulling from a file in the project, which is my profile file, and say OK. And again, it just turns up in the bottom, like all the rest. Save this, do a build, and the build failed. Oh. Or did it? Try that again. Build succeeded. Okay, we're on a beta, right? Start without debugging. Get this up and running, and hopefully what we'll see is we'll see my profile up here. So we'll open up that same modeling project that I was working in before. And on a class, you'll see we've got these stereotypes listed off to the side. And by default, you're going to see here's a bunch of different things that are available in the stereotypes that are already applied. If we take a look at the UML Model Explorer, which stereotypes are available are defined at the root of the model. So when I select the root of the model, you can see which profiles are available. And out of the box, what we're going to get is we've got the C-sharp, the standard profile, L2 and L3. And since those two were selected, those were the options that were appearing when I selected my class. So I'm just going to get rid of these two for clarity, add my security role. Now that I've added it at the root of my model here, if I select my classes again, if we look at the stereotypes that are available, what we should see is there's my security stereotype. So I can select that. I want to apply this particular stereotype. I can drill down here, and there's my security stereotype listed, the security role. And this is actually picking up my previous implementation that I did. Administrator, public user, and authenticated user. And I don't know why it's picking up that one. So that's actually pulling from this package instead of my custom extensions. Doesn't really matter. What we can still see is we can still see how all of this works and applies. So we can come into my stereotype. I can go into my security role, and I can say I want only administrators to be able to access this base class. Now, of course, that's not going to actually realize into anything in code, but if you start doing code gen on top of this, you can add in some kind of security attributes or security checks or whatever. So you can use this metadata that's built on top of these class diagrams to drive what you're doing. Or, if nothing else, it's at least a hint to the developer that picks up this diagram that needs to go and implement it. So we're going to close this, and we'll jump back into my extension. And what I want to add now is I want to add a class, and this is going to be my right-click command extension. I've only got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to do a bit of a cut-and-paste job on this one. So in my command extension, in fact, actually, just in the sake of time, I'm going to open up the one that I've already written. So I'm just going to come in here, and I'm going to add an existing item. This is why I've got my complete. And come into custom extensions. Whoops, wrong one. So this is my stereotype refactoring command. And you can see I've got a whole bunch of errors here because I haven't added the references. So I'll come in here. I need to add a couple of references. And as Rico said, you know, this is just so much faster. You got to love that. So Microsoft dot, and it's not sorting by name. I'm not sure what the sort schema is that they're using here. Microsoft dot, scroll down to Visual Studio, and I need to add Visual Studio Modeling SDK. I need to add a couple of the UML assemblies. Studio.uml extensions, we'll grab the interfaces. And then I also need to add that MEF. So there's my system.componentModel.composition, and that's where the MEF components live. And hopefully that will, okay, I'm missing modeling extension enablement. Visual Studio Modeling. Not seeing the right one there. Modeling SDK. And I suspect that one is pulling from the SDK location, which is not pulled up. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to jump over to my completed project, and we'll open that one up. And what I do get to demo here is the speed that they've been able to bake into 2010. It really does come up really fast. So here's a class extension. So what I've done is my class is implementing the iCommand extension interface. This interface is what's required to be able to add the right-click extensions onto my items. And you can see I've got this export attribute at the very top. That export attribute is defined in the MEF components. And what I'm doing is I'm exporting a type of the iCommand extension, which is the interface that I've implemented down there. So as long as I implement that and I export that, Visual Studio will recognize that I've implemented that particular interface. It knows how to interact with classes of that interface, and it will load those into the designer. I've also added this attribute class designer extension, and that's saying this particular class is extending the class designer for UML modeling. I've also come down here and added an import. So again, this is a MEF attribute, and what I'm saying is I want to import items that implement the iClass diagram context. And what that's going to do is that's going to give me access to the class diagram that I'm interacting with. So that's the contextual space that my extension is working in. I need to implement three methods as part of the iCommand extension, and that is the execute method. And of course, when I select my menu item on a right click, this is what happens. Right? So this is where all the work goes on. And what I've done is based off of that class diagram context, I grab the current diagram, and I can use that to get the selected shapes. So when I right-click and I select a menu item, I'm right-clicking on a particular class diagram, so I can get the selected shape from the diagram, and I'm just casting that as an iClass. Check, make sure it's null, and then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to iterate over all of the applied stereotypes. Now, what I'm working with here is the diagram, right? Remember I said that you've got the diagram and then you've actually got the model, and they're two different things. Once I've got the diagram and I've got the class that was selected, what I can do is I can ask for the model store off of that diagram, and that's going to get me a reference into the actual UML model store where all of my UML entities are contained. And what I want to do is off of that model, right off the root, I want to create an actor. So what I'm doing is I'm enabling, I can right-click on a class, and I can say, I want you to create an actor based on the stereotype that's been applied to that class. So if I say only an administrator can access this class, I'm going to find out which stereotype was applied, and I'm going to create an actor in my model of that type. So this is just a way of showing how my stereotypes can interact with the model underneath, and you can really start to do some interesting things. Of course, refactorings are a popular one. Query status is the second method that I need to implement. And what this is doing is when I right-click on a class, this method is the one that determines whether it shows my menu item or not. So what I'm doing is the command will be enabled and it will be visible if this class has a stereotype. So that's just a custom method that I wrote down here, class of stereotype, where again, from the class context, I select the item, and I just determine whether it's got an applied stereotype count greater than zero. The last thing that you need to implement is this text property, and that's just returning what you want to appear on the menu. So if we build this, and I'm fairly confident this one will work, and run it, and we go into my model, open up my modeling project, and I've got my security stereotype up here, and we defined this one as administrator. If I right-click on here, we should see create actor for security profile. If I right-click on one of these, it's not there because when I'm doing that check, I'm checking to see if there's any stereotypes applied to this particular class, and there aren't. If I just bring out my modeling project, and I expand that. If I right-click on here now and I say create actor for security profile, it creates my actor in the model. And you can interact with all of these things. You can interact. I can import a reference to the IDE itself. And I can do whatever I want. And I can do interesting things there as well. So there's a lot of different ways. I mean, the possibilities are really endless on how you want to interact with all of this. So I can also add a right-click menu and say code gen from there. And that's where you can start to look at how the T4 stuff next door, right after this, we'll look at how we can code gen from here in the way that makes sense to your organization. So I've got 3 minutes left. Any questions? Yeah.
Do you have this example posted anywhere?
I do not, but I will. I will put this, I'll put a link to it on my blog, which is continuouslyintegrating.blogspot.com. Or if you search under my name, right, so it's Larry Guger, G-U-G-E-R. There's only one of me in the world as far as I know. You'll find me. Or send me an email. It's larryguger@gmail.com.
I know she provided the metadata through XML to extend the custom power page or custom things. Are there other ways to provide that metadata? Can you do it?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No, so it's just the XML. And I've asked for the schemas, and they haven't provided them to me yet, so I don't know if they're fully baked or not. There should be good documentation coming out with the SDK that describes how to do all of that. And it's not an extensive schema, so it's not that painful of XML, but...
No, but if you want to make it dynamic, right?
Oh, right, yeah. All right, well, thank you very much. Thank you.